This Saturday, we are celebrating the Valentine's Day, and I thought it would be appropriate of me and of us to think about love this Sunday. Let's begin with the group of kids, age 4 to 8, and what they think love is, okay? Rebecca, age 8. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Carl, age 5. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne, and they go out and smell each other. Okay. Danny, age 7. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy, and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Nika, age 6. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate. Very deep thinking, isn't it? Jenny, age 4. There are two kinds of love. Our love, God's love. But God makes both kinds of them. She must be like going to Sunday school or pastor's kid. Noel, age 7. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Tommy, age 6. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. Cindy, age 8. During my piano recital, I was on a stage and scared. I looked at all the people watching me and saw my daddy waving and smiling, and he was the only one doing that. I wasn't scared anymore. Mary Ann, age 4. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. That is a deep thinking, really. Bethany, age 4. I let my big sister pick on me because my mom says she only picks on me because she loves me. So I pick on my baby sister because I love her. Karen, age 7. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. Jessica, age 8. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget how true it is. And we think children don't, you know, notice. You know, all these stories and true, you know, these words of the kids cover my sermon too. Let me begin my sermon with question, can anyone love without God? Of course, the answer depends on how you define love. So I looked up in the dictionary, Oxford English Dictionary. It lists four different way of defining love. The first one, it says, love is affection. A strong feeling of deep affection for someone or something, especially a member of your family or a friend, such as a mother's love for children. Number two, love is romantic, a strong feeling of affection for someone that you are sexually attracted to, such as fall in love with each other. And number three, love as enjoyment, the strong feeling of enjoyment that something gives you, such as a love of learning. The last one is someone or something you like, a person, a thing, or an activity that you like very much, such as tennis is my first love. So I can answer, yes, anyone can love a person whom they are sexually attracted to, and that's a basic human instinct, isn't it? All humans do, and so do all the animals. Yes, anyone can love someone else whom they have a strong and deep affection, like their own children and parents and spouses and even pets. And most parents love their children based on their parental affection. Such a love is built in the parents, isn't it? Both in humans as well as animals. Yes, I can say that anyone can love their favorite sports team and cheer for the champions of Super Bowl because of their proud achievements. But folks, this morning we are going to talk about the love far different from these types of love I just mentioned. The love I'm going to talk about is far greater than all of these combined. The love we are going to focus on this morning is the love the Bible constantly talks about. It is called agape, the divine love or God's love. Agape love is God's love. It is divine. It is the ancient love of God and the present love of God and the future love of God. It never changes. From the very beginning of the universe, God has constantly exercised this agape love for humanity and for all the creatures. Since the same God wants and expects His children, you and me, to practice the same love as His, agape love, therefore, we need to seriously think about and understand what agape love is all about. So what we'll do this morning, we'll pay a close attention to three attributes of God's love so that we may have a better understanding of it, so that we may learn from it, and so that we may put it into our daily practice. Oh, by the way, for the kids, if you want to do something, I want you to open the bulletin, and if you read the scripture lesson, and can you underline any word that has four letter, L-O-V-E, and tell me how many times you can find in the bulletin. Just underline L-O-V-E, how many times you can find. I already know the answer. Anyway, I'm going to talk about three attributes of agape. The first one is divine. Second one is unconditional, and third, reciprocal. Agape love is divine. Where does agape come from? The Bible says, from God, as we read. The Bible says that God is agape. You know, whenever you hear God is love, the Greek word is God is agape. Okay, agape itself is love. So He is the author and the source of agape. Agape love is very essence of God and His purpose for humanity and His creation of all things and His providence for all creatures are based on His love, agape. The reason why the Bible says why God created us in the way we are created, fearfully and wonderfully made, is because God loves us. The reason why God gives us life every day and provides our daily needs is because He, agapes us, loves us. The reason why God disciplines us is because He is our loving Father. The reason why He sent Christ to the cross is because God loves us. Everything God does is motivated by love, agape. The second aspect of agape love is it is unconditional. There are two kinds of love, in my humble opinion, conditional and unconditional love. Conditional love is if love. The way I love you totally depends on what I get from you and how you behave. It is a merit system. I could say I'll love you as long as you are lovable. I'll love you if you love me back. I'll love you if you behave well. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. That's conditional love. Unconditional love, however, never depends on the recipient's merits. Rather, it totally depends on the giver and his or her will and grace. It is exercised regardless of the recipient's merits. It is in spite of love. And that's how God loves us. He loves us unconditionally. That's how God demonstrates His grace and love for us in Christ. He loves us in spite of what we have done or what we have not done. He loves us the unlovable. He loves us despite our sins, and He loves us even though we never deserve His love. Remember the story of Beauty and the Beast? Yes, they do. You know, many, all of them, except one person, afraid of this horrible, horrible creature, the beast. Except the lady loved this unlovable. Then turned him into a someone who is very lovable. Yes, that's what they said. Now, listen to what the Bible says. God is holy, therefore nothing impure or unclean can stand before Him. And God says, I am holy, therefore be ye holy. You too be holy, God says. We are called to be holy like God, yet we all know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter how hard we try, we still cannot reach God's standards of righteousness and holiness with our own merits. Now, whenever we sin, the Bible says there is always a consequence, and the Bible calls it the wages of sin, and that is death. However, God does not want us to pay the wages of our sins by ourselves. So out of His love, agape, for us, He sent Christ Jesus instead of, you know, on our behalf to the cross. Therefore, the Christ, the innocent and the sinless, taking over your sins and mine, paid the penalty of our sins on our behalf and once and for all, so that we may go free. Cross, in my humble opinion, is the ultimate expression of God's love for us. The question is, did we deserve such a great love of God? No. Even though we were the enemies of God due to our sins, and even though we fell short of God's standards, and even though we're so unlovable, God still loved us. That's agape love. Now, let me tell you, the third aspect of agape love is reciprocal. Agape love is always two-way street. Did you get love from God? You remember the advertising commercial, got love, got milk, got love, and God says, love back. God loves us and we love Him back by how? Loving those people around us. Do you love me, says God? Then love one another. We reciprocate God's love by loving others. Now, think of your own definition of what love is. Bob Dylan once says, I quote, it's just a four-letter word. How do you define love? And let me share mine with you. My definition of love is this. Love is the expression of our love for God toward fellow humans in the same manner that we have received divine love. In other words, I received God's love and I just shared that God's love with others. That's my definition of love. And good example is Jesus. You know, He has experienced God's love to its fullest extent. And He learned such divine love from God, and He loved God back by loving sinners as God had loved Him. He demonstrated His ultimate love for us by taking care of our sins to the cross. And this time, the same Jesus wants you and me, the recipients of His unconditional and sacrificial love, to love back, not to Him, but to other fellow humans. His command is very simple, to love one another as He has loved us, John 13:34. Love God, love others, Jesus says. If anyone asks you why you love others, tell him or her that because God has loved you. The Bible says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And one more thing and I'll be done. The demonstration of agape love is the sign of knowing God. The Bible says, if we claim that we know God yet fail to love others, then we are liars. If we don't love, then we don't know God, because God is love. Know God, love God. Love God, love others. That's one line that summarized my entire sermon this morning. Dorothy Day, once she said this, I really only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. You get that? Back to the original question. Can anyone agape love without God? I don't think so. No one can love unconditionally without God or without God's help. God has called you and me to love others unconditionally, even our own enemies. What is your answer to his call? Let us bow our heads and pray. Jesus summarized quite well when someone says, what is the greatest command of all? Jesus says, love your Father, God, with all your hearts and minds. And the second greatest is love your neighbor as yourself. Christianity is a very simple one. We tend to make it very complicated to understand, but it boils down to, do you love God? Then love your neighbors. So Lord, help us to practice in our daily lives, love one another as Christ has loved us unconditionally and sacrificially. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.